All right, we're going to look at John chapter 15 this morning, and you can have that handy or just take a look up on the screen as we go through that section of scripture this morning. It's a continuation of what we talked about last Sunday in the gospel lesson. Jesus and his disciples are in the upper room having the Passover meal together. And here is what Jesus says to them. As the Father has loved me, so also I have loved you. Remain in my love. If you hold on to my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have held on to my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy would continue to be in you and that your joy would be complete. This is my command, love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you continue to do the things I instruct you. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends because everything that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will endure, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. These things I am instructing you so that you love one another. This is the word of Jesus. If I gave you the task of picking out a one-word description for different groups of people, what word would you choose? So let's start with Packer fan. Now the guys are engaged. Scott just turned to me like, okay. They have a decent quarterback now. They had a decent draft. So maybe the word you would pick for that is optimistic. Okay. Ever gone to a Chick-fil-A? Chick-fil-A employees are trained when you ask them, hey, could you refill my soda? Or could I have another Chick-fil-A sauce or 500 of them? What are they trained to say? It would be my pleasure, right? So maybe the word you would pick for Chick-fil-A is pleasant. How about high schooler right now with Micah? How many weeks left of school?
Three, I think.
Wow, he's not even counting. He's having so much fun that he's not even counting. With 3 weeks left and maybe a project or two due and some other events, maybe a word for high schooler would be anxious. Let's get this thing over with. Or, hey, what's going to happen next? Or that kind of stuff. What about Christian? That's the one we want to kind of chew on today and think about. If you were going to pick a one-word description for a Christian, maybe some people in this world who have had interactions with Christians and who tend to be negative, or those interactions were negative, might say the word is hypocritical or exclusionary or judgmental. And that's what the world is going to say about Christians. What's a word that God would have us use for a Christian? This world is broken and full of broken people, so they're going to come up with all kinds of words. What's a word Jesus would love to be the label on us? I think you, in reading the text for today, would say, Jesus sounds like he wants that label to be loving. And so that's the challenge for us today. If that's the label that Jesus would like us to bear and to be about and to live out, how do we go do that? How do we live that kind of loving life when that kind of stuff doesn't come very easily for us or very natural for us? So we're going to see today Jesus teaching us through his word how he gives us help and hope to be able to actually live out that label that marks us as disciples of Christ. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We meet Jesus today in John chapter 15. We saw last week how John chapters 13 to about 17 is the upper room conversation that Jesus has with his disciples over the final Last Supper that they're having together. And it's an interesting meal because they're celebrating something that was the Passover meal, which has a lot of history and a lot of ritual and a lot of tradition to it. And all of those things mean something as that meal unfolds in that upper room. That meal started about 1,300 years before the time of Jesus, when God sent a prophet by the name of Moses back to Egypt to go be his spokesman to the most powerful person on the planet. It'd be like somebody calling on Putin or Biden or Xi and saying, hey, I have a message from God for you. And he says he'd like you to let your labor force go. Those Israelites that you've enslaved and do all this work for you, those are his people, and he wants you to let them go. And so the book of Exodus outlines how 10 different destructive plagues were sent on Egypt as God's way of convincing the Pharaoh, you know, you really ought to listen to what I have to say to you, you know. And so the Pharaoh will, like, kind of give in for a little bit, and a plague will happen, and then you're like, okay, yeah, those people can go, and then they'll change their mind, and then this whole cycle goes again. The last plague of the 10 was the plague of the firstborn, or the plague of death, or however you want to put this. It was kind of like God saying, I'm going to send a punishment on you that's going to be fitting for Pharaoh, the crime that you committed. Pharaoh had ordered that Israel was getting too powerful and was multiplying too quickly. So, hey, the firstborn males of Israelite people should be killed. And so that was the order to try to control the Israelites. And so God, when he sends his final plague, does this kind of punishment fits the crime stuff, where he says, I'm going to send an angel through the land of Egypt, and that angel is going to kill the firstborn in every household in Egypt. But I'm going to provide a way out and a way of rescue for my people. If you gather together on that night when the angel comes through Egypt and you sacrifice a lamb and you take the blood of that lamb and put it on the door frame and doorposts of your house, when the angel sees that blood, he will pass over that house because he knows that a death has already occurred in that house. In this case, it would be the death of the lamb who was sacrificed in place of that firstborn in the house to keep that child safe. And this would point ahead to the ultimate lamb God would send, who would rescue all people from sin and death. And so through the centuries, this meal got to be a yearly commemoration of this is what the heart of our God is like. Our God is merciful, and our God comes to rescue, and our God is the God who knows about our challenges and our problems, and he cares, and he will come and bring us deliverance. So love was the theme of that meal. The problem was when the disciples got together that evening for the Passover meal that they had celebrated each year ever since they were little kids, they didn't really live out the kind of love that God had in mind at that meal. Remember, they all gathered for the banquet, and typically it was the job of a servant to wash the feet of the guests as they come into the place for the banquet. You've been walking the dusty streets of Jerusalem or Judea or Israel, and so now to kind of refresh you and to clean you up, your feet, your toes get washed, and now you're ready for the banquet where you're going to be reclining on tables and having your feet kind of by the head of the next person. And so it's kind of just nice that that's taken care of and your stinky feet aren't in somebody else's face. But the disciples said, hey, that job is too low and humble for me. Somebody else can do that. But nobody takes it upon themselves to do that because they all thought they were too good for that. So Jesus himself rolls up his sleeves and puts on an apron and he gets down on his hands and his knees and he washes dirty, stinky toes to teach the disciples this is what love is all about. In my kingdom, there's no job that's too humbling for you. Because, you know, the first will be last, and the last will be first. And this is what my kingdom is about. My kingdom is not just about love and lip service. It's about love and action. And if your leader is willing to do the job of the lowliest servant, then this is how you should live, too. How can I serve other people? So Jesus turns this whole meal into an object lesson, right? This meal is all about love. And let me remind you again, this is the kind of love I want you to have. Because as my disciples, what I want you to do is reflect what you've learned from me into this world and to live and to love as I have shown you. And the problem is that doesn't come natural to us. You ever spend time with a two-year-old? Ever tried to take a toy away from a two-year-old? They have this vice grip. I don't know where that comes from. Mine, right? That's us. That's a picture of us. We have these gifts from God, and we twistedly turn them into thinking that they're mine to do stuff with, instead of God saying, no, I gave you that so that you can share it with other people. And so what we notice about ourselves is we have this selfishness and sinful self-centeredness that comes so naturally to us that's our human default mode. And so what God has to do is he needs to step in with divine intervention and give us some spiritual rewiring. And that's what the blessing of Easter is all about. And last week we started using this picture of Jesus saying, just like I'm a vine and you are a branch connected to me. So he's going to use another picture today to show us how connection to the Savior rewires us and changes us and fuels us to go live for him. So that's, with that context, we're going to take a look at what Jesus says. As the Father has loved me, so also I have loved you. Remain in my love. If you hold on to my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have held on to my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy would continue to be in you and that your joy would be complete. So last week we had that picture of connection as vine to branch. This week I think Jesus changes the connection a little bit, and the one that resonates with me is kind of like that cup that's overflowing up in the picture. And Jesus says, hey, the Father has poured his love into my life. And I've loved you. Where did that come from? It came from the overflow of all of the stuff God has poured into me, the Father's poured into me, and that has flown through me to you. That love that you've seen from me is the love that the Father has from you. And I'm just kind of like conduit for that love to flow through me from the Father to you. And just like you've experienced that, now I want that love that has flown from me into you to overflow from you into other people so that they experience it also. And you notice the whole purpose of all of this? Because I want you to experience the joy I have. God does not wake up, contrary to belief, wake up going, I gotta love you again today. This is horrible, you know. He's like, I can't wait. This is awesome that I get to pour my love into you, even though we're undeserving of it, even though we often take it for granted. God just loves to love. And so, hey, I get to pour that into you today, and I can't wait to see you pour that into somebody else's life so you can share the same joy I have in pouring it into you. And how cool is that? So how do we do this remaining? Notice this is the key again. Jesus keeps on, last week and this week, just keep on saying, remain. remain in me. If you hold on to my commands, here's the key to remaining. You will remain in my love. So we're back to that kind of thing of we hear in our culture, in our day, well, Jesus is telling us to go do something. Go love. And I can't do that. That's really hard for me. Jesus is not focusing so much on doing. He is really pushing this idea of being. You already are clean. You already are connected to me. You already have my love flowing into your life. Don't go try chasing after other things in this world to find you more satisfaction or find you more fulfillment, because I'll tell you, you're not going to find it. The stuff you're really looking for, you already have. It's being in me. And so just remain in that love that I have already poured into your life. And how do we know that that stuff is ours? I think that's a great picture of our baptism. How do I know that God really has loved me and connected himself to me? Well, he said at my baptism, I now take you as unworthy and undeserving as you are, and I now make you a part of me. You are now part of my family. I've adopted you into myself, and every blessing that I have to offer, I now give to you. Enjoy it. Well, we gather here and we say, God, I really haven't lived up to the family name, and I haven't really reflected you to this world. And he says, I know, confess that to me, but let me renew you in the fact that you really are mine, that you really are my child, and we're going to try it again this week. And I'm going to continue to give you my blessing so that you might be a conduit of that blessing into the lives of other people. Just go be who I've made you to be. Just go be my child. And as I have freely lavished my love into your life, so go slather it and lavishly give it into the lives of other people. Yeah, they don't deserve it. Neither do you. But I still pour it into you because I love you. And so now go share it with other people in this world. And that seems to be the picture that Jesus says that's what being my disciple is all about. Go be. Remain in me. And then the final thought, this is my command. And again, we got to hear that with ears of not do this or else, but now this is the privilege you have to go do because you're connected to me. This is my command, love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you continue to do the things I instruct you. So we talked about that name game at the beginning. What's a label or a name you might give to a Christian? Here's the other cool one, right? That is so undeserving and is so amazing that it's hard for us to contemplate sometimes. But God looks at you and he calls you friend. How cool is that? You're no longer a servant of me because you're a part of my work and a part of my kingdom team in this world. You get to have the precious privilege of going about and loving as you have been loved in my name. And we say, God, that's really hard for me to do. I try and I fail miserably, and there's some people that I just have a hard time loving, and sometimes I'm hard to be lovable, and God says, I know all of that about you. Your baptism still stands, but let me give you something that I gave my disciples on this evening during the Passover meal to help you live out this command. And that was his supper, right? Hey, take and eat, take and drink. This is my body, this is my blood, given for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The disciples who had celebrated this meal ever since they were little kids knew that Jesus was going off the script and doing something different here with the things that should have been used at different parts of the meal in a certain way. Jesus is now doing something new and something different. A new command I give to you. I want you to go love And this is how I'm going to empower you and fuel you to go out and do that. I'm going to fill you again with my forgiveness and my love and the assurance of who you are in me, so that you can freely and fully go out and share that with the people around you. We have something here where we ask people to kind of talk with us a little bit first before they come and take communion, because we want them to understand this purpose behind it. You're actually receiving Christ. He has some blessings for you through this. And this is what leads us to be able to go out and live the Christian life, because it's not under our own power. He fuels us for that journey. And this is how he does that. So we want to talk about that in love before you just take it and not really understand that. So that's why we do what we do. But do you see the privilege of it all? Hey, friend, let me come and fuel you for what I've asked you and equipped you to go out and do for me. So maybe the thought this week is, who needs that in my life? Who has God put in my sphere of influence and in my life who needs a phone call this week of encouragement? Who needs me to go up to them and just say, hey, I know it's been difficult lately, but I'm praying for you. Who needs to hear, God forgives you, and I love you, and be at peace? Who needs to be a recipient of God's love and needs that fuel that God pours into our life as a blessing, and we relish and cherish that as his friend? So let's pray about that today. Lord, because of Easter, you have given us a whole new life, and that's not just twiddling our thumbs and waiting for heaven. It's using the gifts you have given us today to go and be a gift in your kingdom. You lavish your love on us. You forgive our sins. You remind us that we are your dearly loved, cherished child. And you make us your friend. Help us to be a friend to other people in this world, to give the encouragement that they need, to point them to your promises, to assure them of your love. Use us for that task as individuals, and help us to do that as a family of faith here in Deerfield. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.